Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska. I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. My co-hostess is Lily from Texas. She also will be starting a program on Blog Talk Radio before long. Her name on Blog Talk is SarahLee144. You are welcome to come and join us here every Thursday night at midnight. Tonight we're doing a remake of a program from last night that needed to be deleted because of a caller. That's mainly the reason we're on here tonight. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I have found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, I want to focus on Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. But before we get into that, I want to open this up with prayer. And tonight, the prayer I want to use is the Lord's Prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for this time to minister to your people. I ask you to receive these words for your glory from your servant. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Teach us, Lord, how to forgive others the way that you so willingly were willing to forgive us, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness seems to be one of the things that really hold us back, Lord. So I ask you to open up hearts and minds, Lord, to always be able to forgive every single sin that comes against them from someone else, Lord, so that they themselves can be forgiven also. Lord, I ask you to send out your Spirit to draw in whomever you want to participate in this program tonight and those you want to hear it. And Lord, those that would come that bring a spirit with them that would try to defile your holy word, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to, if they do come, that something said will prick their hearts, Lord, so that they will turn from those ways back to yours, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for it. I ask you to draw in those that you want to come, Lord, that you want to hear this teaching, whether it be in the archives or whether it be while it's playing live, Lord. I ask you to send out your spirit and draw them in, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to start off tonight with a pre-recorded teaching, which is Mystery Babylon the Great. It's a teaching that I recorded a while back, and it will be about 20 to 21 minutes long, and then after that, we'll be taking phone calls. Oh, I see Lily is here. Praise God. Hi, Lee. Okay, we're going to play the teaching. Hope you enjoy this. Hope the Spirit gives everybody ears to hear. In Jesus' name. This teaching is on what is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had the choice of either believing God and obeying his words or believing the serpent's words and obeying him. Every one of us makes that choice at some point in our lives. The seeds planted in our hearts show who we really have our faith in, God or the serpent devil. Let's look at this picture in the scriptures, in the parable of the sower. Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. God gave them a commandment to follow, but the serpent devil persuaded them to put faith in his words instead of God's. By doing that, he took away the words God had planted in their hearts. As they put their faith in his words instead of God's, they became his children, because his seeds were now in them instead of God's. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Matthew 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. From this parable, we see the seeds planted in the heart produce either children of the kingdom of God or children of the wicked one. There is no in between. We are either children of God or we are children of the wicked one, all depending on whose word seeds we put our faith in and allow planted within our hearts. Now that you have the basic picture, let's get into Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Galatians 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Notice in this verse, it is talking about two women, one free and the other bond. Verse 23, But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. The one that was bond was of the flesh. The free woman was of the promise of God. The words of promise God spoke to Abraham. Verse 24, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children, because they rejected the promised word of God. Here, God shows us these two women also represent two covenants. Holy Jerusalem from above is the mother of those that follow the covenant of promise instead of the covenant of bondage. So there are two Jerusalems. That is very important to remember here. Before we go on in Galatians, I want you to see another verse that talks about these two covenants. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They had made a covenant with death, and an agreement with hell, because they believed the devil's lies instead of the true word of God. Now we go back to continue in Galatians. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that beareth not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. The followers of Jesus, as the Word of God, are the children of promise and are not desolate. The others are the children of the world instead. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. They that are in the flesh, the world, persecute those that are walking in the Spirit of God. Until they are truly born of the Spirit, they cannot really see and understand the kingdom of God. Verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So far, we have established there are two mothers, two covenants, two Jerusalems, and two groups of children. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 12, verse 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. We are his brother, sister, and mother if we are doing the will of God. If we are doing the will of God through obedience to his word, we will have the Spirit of promise from the holy city Jerusalem living in us. We become part of the bride through having part of her Spirit in us, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars
shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That great city, the holy Jerusalem, is the bride of Christ. So if we have part of that city in us, we also become part of the bride of Christ. We become Jesus' brothers and sisters as we become God's children through obedience to His Word. Jesus is God's child. So, as His Word is planted in us through the operation of the Spirit of God, we become children of God too. That makes us brothers and sisters to Jesus. When we plant the seed of His Word in other people's hearts, and that seed grows in them, we eventually birth them as children into the kingdom of God. We become His mother in a way, because we have birthed Him in others through the seed of His Word we planted and nurtured in their hearts. They become part of our fruit that we reproduce for the kingdom of God. Those that do the will of the Father in heaven inherit part of that holy city, Jerusalem, through the Spirit of promise. Therefore, they also become part of the spiritual mother, since Jerusalem is the mother of us all. New Jerusalem will fully come down from heaven to us on the earth. This is not the same Jerusalem that is here on the earth now. New Jerusalem is pure and holy, where no sin can dwell. Now, I want you to see some of the adornments of the holy city Jerusalem, because the other Jerusalem also has very similar adornments, which show more clues to her identity. Here are some of the things Revelation chapter 21 tells us about holy Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21 verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now we go on into chapter 22 of Revelation. These verses are still talking about that same spiritual holy Jerusalem and those that dwell within. Revelation 22 verse 1. And he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Notice how His name shall be in the foreheads of those that dwell in that great city. Now let's take a look at that other great city, Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Notice how this verse talks about the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. It also gives us the clue that this is where the Lord was crucified, and that is how we know it is talking about physical Jerusalem. But according to God, He likens this city, Jerusalem, to spiritual Sodom and Egypt. That is because she believes and follows the devil's lies instead of God's truth. Now, we go to another scripture that talks about this same city, Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. That many waters should be the true word of God, the water of life that washes us clean. But the waters she is sitting on are the lies of the devil instead. Verse 2, With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Notice how it is called the wine of her fornication. She fornicated with another and his seed instead of God's. Verse 3, So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is called a woman. Remember how the two Jerusalems were called women? Again, instead of the water of the true word of God carrying her, she is being carried by the waters of a beast that is full of names of blasphemy instead. That beast is full of names of blasphemy because he is full of the waters she is sitting on. It is the word of the devil that claims to be the true word of God. Therefore, it is fornication with another god and blasphemy instead. Verse 4, And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Instead of the cup of the Lord in her hand that we are supposed to drink from, she has a cup full of abominations of her fornication. Instead of the wine of the Word of God, she has the wine of her fornication with the devil in her cup. Verse 5, And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Did you notice how this city also has gold, precious stones, and pearls, just like the holy city Jerusalem does? But the name on her forehead is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, instead of the name of the holy city Jerusalem and the name of God, which should be upon her forehead. These following scriptures show more the difference between the two cups. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? So there is a cup of the Lord we can choose to drink from, and also a cup of devils. What if we don't know the difference? Then we are in danger of hellfire, so we better find out the difference. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. When we take in the Word of God into our hearts, we are drinking from His cup in remembrance of Him. So instead of the true New Testament Word of God, the mother of harlots has abominations and filthiness of her fornication in her cup. the seed of the devil. Psalms 116, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Psalms 11, verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The devil's seed and spirit that falls on them results in snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. The holy city Jerusalem drinks from the cup of the Lord. The mother of harlots drinks from the cup of devils instead, because she is a harlot and has allowed the seed of the lies of her God into her heart instead of the seed of the true Word of God. She is the mother of harlots because she teaches her children to fornicate with her God, the devil. They become harlots just like her because they also follow his lies and are his children.
Okay, that's it for the teaching. But the Lord last night put on my heart another scripture to give you. And that is in Ezekiel chapter 16. And what this does is confirm that the physical Jerusalem is the mother of harlots. Because what happened, she started out being God's wife. But because of all the other gods round about her, she started fornicating with the other gods by worshiping them instead of the Lord of glory. And chapter 16 of Ezekiel will really bring that out a lot. Verse 1 says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. What we have done is we take our own righteousness upon us. We believe in ourselves instead of the Almighty God. And by that, we're literally being polluted in our own blood instead of taking upon us the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we think that our righteousness, that we can do things in order to save us, where there's only one that can actually save us, and that's the Lord of glory. So the Lord looked down upon Jerusalem and saw that she was doing things of herself instead of him. Now we'll go on into verse 7. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Notice the word ornaments. Ornaments is also something that the bride of Christ is decked with. It says, thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. We're naked and bare when we don't have the covering of Jesus Christ covering us. We don't have his garment of righteousness surrounding us. Verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And that's what Jesus, when he looks down upon us, he sees that it's time for us to come and receive him as our husband. Okay, on into that verse. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. And that's what we do. We enter into his covenant of love, his word that he sent here for us, that perished upon that cross, just for us. And when we enter into that covenant, he covers us in his garment of righteousness so that we can come to know him even more. It says, I swear unto thee, wait a minute, let me back up. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. It's like the covenant of marriage that we enter into. We covenant to our husbands or our wives that we will be with them throughout the rest of our lives, that we will obey one another. And that's what God wants, is our obedience to his word. It says, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. So we enter into the covenant with God. Then he gives us the water of the word to come in and wash us clean. He shows us what we're doing that doesn't line up with his perfect word. And so this verse says in verse 9, then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. He washes away our own righteousness with his own blood, and he gives us the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, I covered thee with silk. Doesn't that sound like the tabernacle of God that Moses built? Verse 11, I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Doesn't that sound like holy Jerusalem and her clothing? Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. Notice it says, for it was perfect. Uh-oh, we got an advertisement coming on. Sorry, guys. Let me see if I can close that thing. Oh, boy. I don't see a way to close it, so we'll have to wait till it's done. So sorry about that. All right, well, praise God anyhow. I don't know why they have those set like that so that those advertisements actually end up coming up in the middle of our programs, but that's the way they have things here on Blog Talk Radio, so oh well. Okay, I'm not quite sure where I was at, but I'll try to see if I can find my spot. Hey, Grok, that's not a good word. Praise God anyhow. Okay, let's see. Oh, perfect. There it is. In verse 14, we were in verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. It's the Lord's beauty that comes on us. He's our beautification. It's not our own. It's only Him. You know, it's like when people are really, really loving the Lord and the Spirit of God comes down on them, you can see the glow on them. You can see His light shine through them. He's so awesome. It says, for it was perfect through my comeliness, not their comeliness, but His, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Notice He's the one that puts it upon us. Verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and plaidst the harlot because of thy renown. We don't want to trust in our righteousness. Our righteousness to God is as filthy rags. If we trust in our own righteousness, we're covered in our flesh instead of the Spirit of God. Verse 16, and of thy garments thou didst... Well, wait a minute. I think I missed it. Verse 15, oh no, not again, Lord Jesus. Oh, well, wait again. I've got the speaker on mute. I don't know if you can still hear me or not. I'm hoping that that will keep the advertisements for coming. If you can still hear me in the chat, would you please give me a sign right in there that you can still hear me, okay? All right, I guess people will have to wait a little bit. Okay, I'm hoping that's gone. Yay, praise the Lord. My grandson says, yay, I love it. Okay, let's go back to it again. Verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and plaidst the harlot because of thy renown and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. God does not want us turning away from Him. He wants us to stay with Him and not turn to another. I see Lily is on the line, so I'm going to click on Lily. Hi, Lee. Are you there?
Hi, yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, but I've got a commercial going at the same time, hon.
Yeah, I was just wondering if...
I don't know how to get rid of these commercials.
You know, so I didn't know if you had me in or not.
That's two commercials, right?
You need me.
Okay, thanks. We had two commercials right in a row there, and you know what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And if someone is going to call in from the chat room, I ask you to write in that you're on the phone. Otherwise, I'm not going to take any calls unless you tell me that it is you that is calling in, okay? If you're going to call in, please let me know. I will not delete this program again because of a caller. Grok says, click on the speaker icon at the bottom of commercial. I tried that, Grok, but it wouldn't work. So anyways, praise God anyhow. This teaching is going to go forth, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail in Jesus' name. Okay. I'm going to go back to 15 again. He don't like that verse, so too bad.
Okay.
We're just going to keep doing it until he lets it go forth. Hey, praise the Lord. Resist the devil, and what happens? He has to flee. He don't have a choice. Okay, verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty. We don't trust in our own beauty. We trust in the beauty of the Lord. And plaits the harlot. And we're not going to play the harlot. We're not going to accept his seed in our hearts and our minds. We're going to take the seed of our husband, Jesus Christ, his word into our hearts. Praise God. Ooh, I feel that one. and plagues the harlot because of thy renown. And you know what? In the churches, a lot of times they get real big. And then all of a sudden they start playing the harlot with all the other things of the world and money because of their renown. The bigger they get, it seems the more they go to other gods instead of the truth. One. Okay. Place the harlot because of thy renown and pours out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deckest thy high places with divers colors and place the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. You know what? That's what we've done with these new Bibles. We have taken the truth of the Word of God, and we've turned it into images after man. The word of man instead of God. Man thought that he could remake God, rewrite God's word and make it better, easier to understand. To think that man could even have that thought that he could make the Lord of glory better, easier to understand, when he did not know, when he rewrote those books, that all he did was take out the patterns, the hidden mysteries that God had stuck within his word. How dare any man lift himself up and try to replace God in his heart with another and use his own righteousness to cover himself instead of God's? Verse 17 in the middle says, which I had given thee and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the image of God. So if it's another gospel, it is another image. It's the image of man, which is actually the image of the beast, because our flesh is what has to be crucified. We are the beast. That's why we have to crucify our flesh, so that we can see the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 18, wait a minute, back up in 17 it says, madest to thyself images of men and didst commit whoredom with them. We're taking in the seed of man into our hearts. We're believing what man teaches instead of what God teaches within the Word of God. Verse 18, and tookest thy broidered garments and coverest them. We're covering them in our own garments. When we stand at the pulpit and we teach another gospel, when we teach something that goes against the Word of God, we are actually covering the congregation with our beliefs instead of what the Word of God teaches. We can't do that. It's wrong. It says, and took us thy broidered garments and covers them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed them. Sacrificed unto them to be devoured. That's what the lies of the enemy do. The lies of the enemy come in and they devour us. They swallow us up. Instead of us being swallowed up with immortality, we get swallowed up of our own mortality. And we trust in ourselves instead of the Almighty God. It says, these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. We actually sacrifice our children to those lies of the enemy. We lift them up to the lies. And these children, that's how we become the mother, part of the mother of the harlot. Because we teach our children lies of the devil. And so by doing that, we are sacrificing them to the enemy instead of bringing them to the Almighty God, to truth. It says, thou hast sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children? He calls these children his. And delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way. Notice, it's not his high place. It's thy high place. We build up our own places. We build up our own fancy churches, and we dare to try to put the name of the Lord God on them. It says in verse 25, thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. We open up our feet. What are our feet supposed to be shod with? But the gospel of peace. That's what our feet are supposed to be planted firmly on. That is our foundation. But she has opened up her feet to another. She has allowed another seed to come into her instead of the truth of the Word of God. Verse 26 says, thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Notice the words, great of flesh. It is the flesh that the devil wants us to receive instead of the Spirit of God. He wants us to trust in our own flesh instead of the Almighty God. It says, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. And when we do this, we provoke the Lord to anger. Verse 27, behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee. When we turn our back on the truth, God gives us over to the enemies that hate us. The daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way, thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. We will never be satisfied with another. We can't possibly be satisfied with another. Only with the Lord of glory. Again, if anybody from the chat is calling in, please show me in the chat room that it is you on the phone. Otherwise, I will not answer the phone, because I am not going to have this program defiled again, in Jesus' name. Verse 29, thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. We can't be satisfied if we are not receiving the truth from Almighty God. We will never be satisfied. It's like having a puzzle, and we try to put a piece in that doesn't quite fit. It has all the right colors, and it looks like it has the right shape. But when we go to put it down there, it won't fit. There will always be space left over, because we need the truth. And when we have the truth, let me tell you, you're going to know that it is the truth, because it is what makes us free. And only the truth will make us free. Verse 30, how weak is thine heart? You know why the heart is weak? Because it doesn't have the words of truth in its heart. Because he is our strength. It says, how weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things. the work of an imperious, whorish woman. That's what God calls us when we take the seed of another into us. We are a whorish woman. Verse 31, in that thou buildest thine intimate place in the head of every way. It's every other way instead of his way. The way, the truth, and the life that leads us to God. In that place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery. That's what we do. We're supposed to be married to him, but we take in another in his place. It says that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Did you know that every time we lift up a lie in the place of the Almighty God, we are actually lifting up strange fire. We are offering up strange fire in his place. We actually place the devil in the throne of God through our worship, through our praise, when we're doing it while we're entering into a lie. That's why we have to have the truth. That's why we have to prove all things. That's why we have to know which is true and which is not. If we don't know his voice, we will never be free. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. I'm preaching. Praise God. God is so good. I love him so much. Okay, back to verse 31. In that thou buildest thine intimate place. If you notice, it's thine instead of his. In the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Can you imagine how he feels when we look upon another instead of him? Verse 33, they give gifts to all whores. There are spiritual gifts out there, people, that are being given that are not of him. And that's what this verse is talking about. They give gifts to all whores. But thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, we only got 7 minutes, and I don't think I'm going to get her done. Not by a long shot. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered. He discovers our nakedness because we're covered in filthy rags. And rags can't completely cover us, so our nakedness shows through. It's like the Bible talks about a moth-eaten garment. A moth-eaten garment has holes in it. The devil is the moth that eats the holes in the woolen garment. Moths love wool. What are sheep covered with but wool? So the moth comes and eats holes in our garments, takes out part of the truth away from us. And so when God looks at us, he's supposed to be looking at Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be looking in our full covering of righteousness. But instead, he sees the filthy rags of the enemy. He sees the holes. He sees our nakedness through those holes that moth has eaten through. And so our sins are evident to him. It says, to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Verse 35. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations, And by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers, with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. The devil sees when we're not covered with God. He knows whether we really know God or not. Just like the seven sons of Sceva or whatever that was, that the devil said, Paul I know and Jesus I know. But he didn't know him. Well, the devil knows whether we're covered or not. He knows that there's holes in our righteousness. Verse 38, and I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. That's the cup of Mystery Babylon the Great, the cup of the wrath of God that we end up drinking from because we serve the other instead. Our tables, we're supposed to be eating from his table, but instead our tables are full of vomit. And God is jealous because he wants us serving him and him alone. Verse 39 says, and I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels and leave thee naked and bare. And that's what the enemy does. He takes away the Spirit of God from us, just like the parable of the sower says. We get out of the way. We're not walking with Jesus anymore. And so the devil can come and take the word out of our hearts, the word that God planted there to begin with. The devil could come and steal from us, and then we're not covered in God anymore because we got away from him. Verse 40, they shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their swords. Notice it's their swords that get us. It's instead of the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, it's another word that comes into our hearts. It goes right through our hearts and cuts us to the heart. And guys, if you want to call in and continue to listen, you can. I'm going to keep going because I know this will keep recording for another hour, but it won't be available on air, but it will be available in the archives. So I'm just going to keep this going, okay? Even after the time lapses. So if you guys want to call in and keep stay with me, you're more than welcome to do that, okay? Because I've only got about 2 minutes going, but the Spirit of God is on me, and I don't want to stop, okay? Hey, verse 40. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their swords, and they shall burn thine houses with fire. Instead of the house of God, we're getting burned up by the enemy, people. Because we're not being covered in him, we're being covered in another fire, that strange fire that we keep offering up in his place. These doctrines of devils in place of the true word of God. Verse 41 says, and they shall burn thine houses with fire and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I will recompense thy way upon thine own head. It's the way we turn to. That's what comes back on our own head. Oh, I see Rando's on here. Praise God. Hi, Rando.
Hey.
Are you there, guy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, I'm here. I see we got a couple more callers, but I don't know.
Go ahead and let them in. You can always kick them out.
I don't.
I'm kind of afraid to click on any not knowing who's calling in.
Don't worry about it. Let the Lord go with it. Let the Lord get what he wants. He wants us here right now.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I didn't know you guys were going to leave your program since this was going to rearrange.
Well, you know what? You know what? Bams was led by the Lord to hear. Let me tell you something. This is the most amazing show I've ever heard you do. I am just so on fire. You are so under the anointment right now. And I'm just so blessed to be here. And Bams knew it too.
Oh. Well,
so
God's
I'm sure that I think that Bams was calling in.
Okay, do you know which number it is? Is it a 904 number?
No, that would be Bonnie. That's okay.
Okay.
Bonnie's okay.
Okay.
She's in Jacksonville. That's 904.
Okay, is this Bonnie? Who we got online? The 904 number.
Oh, yes, that's me. I was calling in so I could listen. No, you're on a roll.
Oh,
I didn't interrupt
you.
Uh-oh, we're getting another commercial.
Let's see if
thank
you. Okay, I can't hear that. Let's bam, Scott.
Okay, we got another commercial going, but I'm going to keep going right after the commercial's done.
Did you
I don't
get
know
it?
How to
did
stop those
you call
things.
In?
No.
Call in to her number.
I'm
you didn't get in time. You didn't get in time.
It
then.
Cut me off.
Yeah, you got to call in before it's too late.
It cut her off before she could get in. But that's
that
okay. What I'm going to do, is take my headset off and put it on speaker. Well, I don't want to do that. I'm scared I'll miss it. She can listen in on my headset with me.
Okay.
As
all right.
I want a picture of that.
Oh, praise God. Well, I sure appreciate you guys all being here and praying for me because obviously the Lord's doing it.
Yeah.
Because this
God
was nothing like
God
last
is amazing.
Night.
Cheryl,
God
is like amazing. I'm glad it happened last night because what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. You are rolling.
The Lord's rolling. I'll just roll
and
with it.
Tonight, huh?
I'm gonna turn it off. I'm gonna make my chat turn it up on the line and just close this this program. BT, is that better?
Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah, that was personally mine, and it didn't even show a player on the page. I'm gonna talk to Blog Talk tomorrow. They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Not
well,
like
it's
that.
It's horrible that they do those commercials like that because it messes up the programs.
And it's always right in the middle of prayer or something, too.
Well,
but you know what?
Right
we're not going to let that happen tonight because even though I'm not in chat, this is what I want. It's that we're all in the same room right now and we're having prayer study. We're having prayer and Bible study. And that's what it's all about. Bams, get in. You can share this one with me, hon.
Okay. I'm not sure where I was at. But I think I was on verse 44, so I guess that's where I'll go. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. That's why she's the mother of harlots, because we teach our children the same things. Look at the different churches and how they've handed down their religion to their children. And if it's a false religion, and we've taught our children that, we've actually said, oh, gee, Minnie. Oh, God.
Are you okay?
Oh, God.
What happened, sis?
The Lord just showed me we're sacrificing our kids.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Cheryl, we are. Yes,
we are. He's shown that to me, too. I'm sorry that it hit you so
hard. Forgive us.
But I've seen it. I'm sure Bonnie's seen it. Bam's seen that too. We know.
We sacrificed him to the lies instead of the truth.
Yes.
But let me say this. Let me share this with you. Just as their blood, the blood of the innocent, cries out from the ground for, not really for vengeance, but for the Lord to make it right, his blood, he showed me this one time, that his blood from Calvary has dropped down into the ground and has redeemed that blood that was crying out.
I was going to say the same thing. That blood is redeemed. That blood's redeemed and sanctified.
It doesn't make it okay, but
no.
He has still made it. He has still redeemed it.
Yeah, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is awesome, that's for sure. And it hurt me when it hit, when I learned that the first time too, and the same, I got the same word, Bonnie, so praise God for that.
Right.
Take comfort in that, Cheryl.
That's a hard
pill to swallow. It was for me too, because instantly I started trying to carry that burden around, and I knew not to instantly too. I had to give it to the Lord. So give that burden to the Lord. Don't be upset about that. Give that to the Lord. He bought it. Okay? He bought that with his blood, so don't worry about it. Let it go. Get on with your message. Really. Really. I love you, and you're amazing. You're amazing. And just be at peace. You're right. Just be that instrument of peace that God has made you to be. We love you so much, and the Lord loves you so much. You're so anointing in His Word, and so anointed in His Word tonight. And I'm so blessed to be here. I'm so blessed by the ladies on Blog Talk Radio tonight. I felt so edified by all the message that I've heard from four great women of the Lord tonight. And I'm just so proud of you all in the Lord. And I'm proud of my little girl too. She did an awesome job tonight. But you know what? All you guys right now, God is working in you in such a wonderful way. Such a wonderful way, the way you're all pulling together, Val too. The way you guys are all pulling together as a team and come together under the authority of Christ and in His Word and through His sacrifice. And you guys are coming together and really pulling together and supporting each other. That's what it's all about. You know, this message that you're giving tonight, that's what it's all about. Get away from the whoredoms and come back home.
Right.
You know, God. And you're doing a great job with Cheryl, and I know that's a hard one. That's a hard one. I was hit with that too, and I guarantee Body will tell you the same thing. It floored me.
Right.
It floored me when God revealed that to me. But I will tell you this, and Bonnie will agree with this too. There's other awakenings that are coming that will floor you even more. So be prepared for those in the Lord. Just have faith. Just have faith that God is in control.
Right, but just stay tender like that, because that makes you real and people love you even more.
And I'm right here, but I'm going to pass the headset to Bams for a few minutes so she can
okay.
fellowship with you.
All right.
And talk
well, thank
to you.
You.
Okay, and I'll talk to you in a minute. Love
Sorry,
you. I love you, Cheryl.
Sorry.
Love you too, guy. I've got another 904 number, so I'm going to go ahead. Oh, I guess I've already clicked on it. Praise God.
Hey,
I really think that the guy that was on here last night is on here again. And I'm not clicking on that number ever again.
Right.
So
that's good.
The only way they're ever going to get on this show again is to change their number.
Then even then, we'll just not tolerate it.
Amen.
Right.
Okay.
The
Lord has shown me before one of the reasons that I fight for the Lord so much. You know, He's shown me that these preachers that are preaching things that don't line up with the Word, If they contradict the Word in any way, they are actually teaching the people the lies of the devil. They're taking away from the Word of God when they say, well, that's what it says, but that's not what it means. It actually means this. You know, it's like the guy with the horseman saying that it wasn't pale, it was green. And let me tell you, that pale horse is pale because he's deaf. He doesn't have the life blood flowing through them anymore.
Hey,
if you've ever
I'm
seen
here
anybody
listening.
That has a devil on them, they have the look of death. They actually, when that spirit comes over them, and I know this because I've seen it happen, when that spirit is on them, they get this gray look over them. And you can tell the difference. They look like a corpse, but they're walking around. And that's the spirit of devil on them. It's a pale look because the blood, the life of the blood isn't flowing through them like it's supposed to. Okay, back to the topic. Praise God. The Lord just reminded me again, one of the things that He hit me real hard with on that was that the preachers that are preaching lies, anybody that's teaching lies, we're actually planting those seeds in those people's hearts and minds. And believe it or not, in the spirit, we become murderers. We actually, if those people die believing those lies instead of the truth of God, they die in those lies. They had their faith in the lies, and they end up in hell for eternity.
Yeah.
Those preachers or whoever teaches that actually becomes a murderer in the spirit. It's an eternal murderer.
Yes.
And they don't have a clue. They don't know they're doing that. And that's why the truth needs to come out. Okay, verse 45. Thou art thy mother's daughter. Notice the mother of harlots again. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. To God, in God's eyes, we actually loathe him when we turn to another instead of him. And it says, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell in thy left hand. Notice the dwelling place. It's no longer in the right hand. It's in the left hand. And I saw a church one time when they refused the truth of the Almighty God. I saw the right hand of the Lord in the Spirit lift up off of that church. I saw the cloud of the Spirit that was laid over them, just like a cloud settles in the valleys of the mountains. If you've ever seen that, it's just beautiful. Well, I watched this cloud lift off of them. It's like the cloud lifted. It was time to move on. But when I saw that, the Lord also gave me another vision. And it was a left hand. And the hand was black. It was coal black. And the fingers come to a needle point. And as when the Lord's hand lifted up, the black hand closed. That left hand closed on them. And so when it talks about this left hand, I know that's what it's talking about. They rejected him, and they ended up gripped by the hand of the enemy instead. It says, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if thou were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted. That's what he does. He corrupts the truth. Thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. Notice again, it's thy ways instead of his. Verse 48, and this is Ezekiel 16 yet. Verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister, Sodom. Here's the iniquity. It wasn't sodomy. It was pride. It was fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister, Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. Notice it's in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. We do it right in his face. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Verse 51. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all that thine in all thine abominations which thou hast done. And what do? We try to justify one another when we're in sin. And we should never do that, because we're supposed to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We are commanded to wash one another's feet. And the only way we can wash one another's feet is with the Word of God, as it washes us. And we need to be clean before we can wash somebody else's feet. If we don't want that thing in our eye, because it blinds us. And if we're trying to wash somebody else when we don't see the truth ourselves, what good is it going to do? It's like we're washing them with dirty water. Instead of us seeing through that glass clearly, we're still looking through the glass darkly. That glass needs to have the waters of the Word washed it clean so that we can see him. Then we can show him others. Verse 52, thou also which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that thou hast committed. When we judge someone else, when we're not where we're supposed to be, we get judged for our own sins. That's like forgiving one another's debts. We need to be able to forgive them so we will be forgiven. It says, bear thine own shame. This is in verse 52. Bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also and bear thy shame in that thou hast justified thy sisters. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame. We're covered in our shame. We're covered in our filthy garments, and God sees it. He knows whether we're trusting in him or whether we're trusting in a lie. It says that thou mayest bear thine own shame. This is verse 54. And mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done. That's the confusion of faith. And God is not the author of confusion. But the devil is.
I asked God. And I really asked him. I told him, so Lord, I really, really, really hate Shad. Mike, can you hear me? Lord,
what's that, Randall?
Hey, I'm here listening. It's me, Bams.
Okay. Oh, Randall said something. I thought he was going to say something.
No, he's eating, so he's telling me about his prime rib, how juicy it is.
Oh, hey. Hey, that fits. He's eating meat.
Yes, but I'm listening to your message, and I am just floored, which I've read these things, but the way it was gifted to you and the way you worded it is just amazing. You have got
that's
the anointing, that's right.
But he's actually really and truly eating prime rib right now.
Yes.
So are we.
Yeah.
Yes, they're eating prime rib right now.
He's just confirming it in the flesh.
You know, that verse in Malachi says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse so that there might be meat in my house.
Amen, so, girl, amen.
What kind of meat are you offering, Ren?
Medium
must be
prime rib. Hey, I ate on mine earlier. He's sharing his with me because I don't have any anymore.
You better. That is so cool. You know
prime
what?
Rib. I was going to call everyone together for Denny's afterwards. Bummer.
There you go. Somebody said in a church one time that, you know, because the Bible talks about the milk of the word, and he said, the cow's dead. There ain't no more milk. All that's left is meat.
Good.
Hey, the meat of the word.
Amen. Well, we're getting it tonight. The Lord,
we're
really
getting into the meat.
Out.
That's good.
Feed us, Lord. Feed us some more.
That's right.
See how much. Oh, Rando
saying that.
We got another. What's that?
Rando saying that too. Give me some more, Lord. Give me some more.
Oh yes. When
praise
He gives
God.
Us that meat, we crave more. That
taste
is for sure.
He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," and
amen.
We're tasting. Oh, praise God! Bathe us in it, Lord. Keep it flowing. Keep the river flowing,
that's
Jesus.
That's right.
All right. Verse 53. When I shall bring again their captivity and the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, he will bring that captivity back. And the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them. That thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters
shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered. Notice, oh, praise God. That matches Habakkuk 3:13. Okay, the Lord's given me that. All right. It's Habakkuk, and I got to find it. And that's going to take me a minute. So hold on, guys. That little thing. It's Habakkuk 3, verse 13. And this is how good the word is, because one scripture lines up with another all the way through. Okay, it says, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. That's the Father went forth within Jesus Christ for our salvation. But the new Bibles all pollute this, like you can't even imagine. Okay, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. So the Father was with Jesus. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. That's where the wound come in, because when Jesus came here, he discovered the lies that the Israelites had been following and tried to expose them. Okay, now I don't know what verse I was on here. Because it had discover in it.
15:57.
Was it? Ah, there it is. Okay, because before thy wickedness was discovered, that is what God does. He sees our wickedness. He sees our nakedness showing through. But that matches, he discovered the foundation unto the neck. That matches this verse completely. It says, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith the Lord. That's what's on us. That's what we're bearing when we're following the lies of the enemy. We're actually bearing lewdness and abominations instead of the garment of righteousness, which should be upon us. Verse 59, for thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done. It comes back on us. What we sow, we will reap. It says, as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. And that's what we do. We actually break the covenant when we turn to another instead of the truth. Verse 60, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. And I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. So he brings us back even after we turn our backs. 61, verse 61. Then thou shalt remember thy ways. And that's what he does when he brings us back to the truth. Then we remember our wicked ways again and we're ashamed. It says, then thou shalt remember thy ways. Notice it's not his ways. It's our own ways. And it says, and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. Notice here's another covenant. He even tells us that we have made another covenant instead of his. Verse 62 says, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know. That's when we know the Lord of glory. We know beyond any shadow of a doubt which covenant is actually the truth and which one is not. Because his true word is provable, because it's got line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It says, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never, notice these words, and never open thy mouth anymore. Uh-oh, sounds like another commercial. Okay, on it.
Yes, it was a commercial.
Oh,
I'm so upset with BTR. That's ridiculous.
That is absolutely ridiculous. I can't get there because of commercial. As soon as I got on BTR, a commercial, and
you're still talking with it, right?
Yes, you hit the right button where that little X is to turn it off. Still didn't turn off. It's like it got stuck. I had to close the whole program. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. Oh, it was on yours this time? I thought it was on mine again.
Nope, mine.
And the only way we can keep that from happening, the only way we can keep that from happening is to close the chat completely.
Yes, I had to close everything and just completely shut the whole window off. The devil does not want this message out, apparently.
Too bad.
He's trying everything. That's right. That's right. And preach on. You're doing amazing. I'm just in here listening by the seat here, just holding on.
All right. Well, we're almost done, I think. Verse 62, and I will establish my covenant with thee. It's his, not ours anymore. It's not our own righteousness anymore. It's his righteousness. And it says, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. We will know that he is the true one. Because like I was saying, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You know, when you compare the true word of God to these new Bibles that have come up, there's the commercial again. Here we go again. When you compare the true, and he did this at the exact same spot both times. When you compare the true word of God to these new Bibles that have come up, every single pattern, well, not everyone, some of them they've left in to leave you a little taste yet, but the patterns, for the most part, in those new versions are completely gone. The devil has influenced man to take out the keys of knowledge from the Word of God so that they'll never see the whole picture. I'm telling you, the King James Bible has the picture in it. The patterns are there. I've compared these patterns to these other Bibles, and they're gone. And it's another image. It's another gospel. It's not the true one. And if we're teaching doctrine that doesn't line up with the solid Word of God, if it sways in any way, it's another gospel. Anything that we teach that goes away from the true Word of God and what he teaches us, it is another gospel. And it's another Jesus. And when we offer it up to others, we're actually offering strange fire in the place of the Lord of glory. And it's also what the Lord showed me was we are offering up a lamb with blemishes instead of the sinless, perfect Word of God, the sinless Lamb of God that came to sacrifice for us. We actually offer up another lamb in his place. And that's why the devil is still in heaven. It's because we keep putting him there. We keep sacrificing to him. We keep lifting him up in our hearts. He's sitting in the temple of God proclaiming he is God. And he is not going to be in my temple if I can help it. I'm not going to allow it if, in God's mercy, if he just keeps showing us the truth. We can kick him out of the temple once and for all and never allow him to exalt his place in the place of the Lord of glory ever again. Oh, praise God. Okay, verse 63. That thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Finally, when we come back to the Lord and see the truth the way he wants us to see it, he's pacified. And we can enter into his rest with him and dwell with him forever. And that's what it's all about. Okay, who's got something on their heart?
Go ahead, Bonnie. I've always got some on my heart, so I'm going to let you talk.
Thanks, but that's okay, Randall. But all I can say is I am just so grateful to God for the passion he has put on you tonight, especially Cheryl, for this morning. It is awesome and so uplifting and encouraging and heartbreaking all at the same time. But it just shows his love and his unending mercy when we return to him, that he would still take us back, filthy garments and all, and then clean us up, love us. Praise God. I don't know. I could never say enough.
Yeah, and we're in agreement with it. We're in agreement with that, Bonnie, because I was just sitting here. I was going to say exactly what you were going to say. Such an anointed time, such an anointed night, but such an anointed show, such a powerful message. Couldn't have been delivered in a more powerful way and with as much wisdom through the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's, you know, let me tell you something, sis. People are going to hear this archive, and there are going to be some people won over to the Lord through this. That wasn't just a message. That was a testimony. And praise God for that. Praise God for you being such a good steward with what God has given you and really glorifying in this way. And you know, I'm just going to lift you up right now. Let me pray for you. Can I do that for you, Cheryl?
Thank you. Yes,
Lord, Father in heaven, Lord Father, we just want to raise Cheryl up to you now. We lift her up to you, Father. Thank you for what you do in her life. Now, Lord, I'm lifting her up to you for healing. Father, give her healing to her body. Help her, Father. Give her the strength that she needs and encouragement that she needs to continue on through the faith that she has and sharing this message she has with so many. Thank you, Lord. We give you all praise, honor, and glory for the things that you do for us, and we know that you answer our prayers. So thank you, Lord, for healing her. Thank you so much for that, and thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for sending your spirit and putting it on Sister Cheryl tonight to edify us and to make us feel more sanctified in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you so much, and we just give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name I say this, amen.
Amen.
And so be it. So be it.
I want to say,
Cheryl, I have to.
Go ahead, hon.
Go ahead. I was going to say, and when he was praying that, I just saw a vision of you, not knowing even what you look like, but you were clothed in a long white gown and the Lord carrying you in his arms. Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt his arms around you. I've seen it too.
Oh.
A long white gown, and it was flowing
what
and
it
blowing
was.
And blowing.
It was as
your
if
garments.
You across the
yeah.
threshold.
Your garments as white as snow. Yeah.
I've seen him carrying something in his arms that was white before, and I didn't know what it was until you just now said that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome, then, and it's great to be able to share that. At this time, God's got the people here that he wanted here. You hear what I'm saying, sis?
Oh, praise
he's
your
got
Holy.
The people here because we needed this. We needed this.
Wow.
We
how
really
powerful.
Needed this.
I've
there's
seen
nothing,
it.
There's
Somebody
nothing any better. There's nothing any better through confirmation when people see the same things and hear the same word of God. Bams would hand me this headset and she'd miss it. Now I got to try to explain to her, how do you explain that? How can I draw that picture out for her that she can understand what just happened here?
The same heart understand.
Yeah,
she will.
She'll know. Why do you think we love you
this
so much, Cheryl?
I'll be on the recording.
Cheryl, you know that's one reason we love you so much, because we know what your walk is with the Lord. You wear your spirit on your outer part. We see you. We see what you're all about. We know your heart, sis. Your spirit's been tested.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, your spirit's been tested, sis.
Oh, you can't even imagine.
Yeah, I can too, because I'm right there with you, sis. He's carried me too.
Amen.
The Lord
carried me too.
The Lord showed me that I had died. I physically died many times. And he gave me a vision one time of him holding me up by the hair in front of the devil and dangling me in front of him and just laughing at the devil and telling him how you thought you got her this time too, but you didn't. And God would allow me to get to the last second of death. And he'd pull me out at that very last second just so he could dangle me in front of him, thinking that he got me, that he won. And God
yeah.
would lift me out right at that last moment when the devil thought he had won. You know, it's like with the show tonight. The devil thought he was going to come in there, and he thought he was going to destroy what God was going to do. But you know what? The gates of hell did not prevail.
No.
And I got a message for anybody that's listening to this program, and I need you to know that it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter if you have killed your own child. It doesn't matter if you've murdered 20 people. Jesus Christ is holding his arms out.
Amen.
And he will receive you. And all you have to do is ask him to forgive you of the things that you have done that go against him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because every single one of us on this line is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
We are murderers when we have taught lies to somebody.
Yes.
Look at, you know, I've taught lies to people because I didn't know. That makes me a murderer. You know, so we are no better than anybody else out there. None of us. Because he deceiveth the whole world. That doesn't leave any of us out. And you know what? God's arms are open to every single one of us. And all we have to do is ask him to forgive us and then get into his word and allow his love to fill our hearts as he pours his word into us. His arms are waiting for you. He loves you so much. You know, what the Lord showed me about the devil was that what happened in the Garden of Eden was God had his kids there. And the devil come, it's like a stranger drives up to the curb of the school when the kids are getting out of school. And a stranger drives up and he's got some candy in his hand, or he's got a puppy, and he lures those kids over to his vehicle. And those kids believe what he says, and they get into the vehicle.
Yeah.
And the parents don't see those little kids anymore, because the devil come along, and he stole the children of God away from him. And God is coming to take us back, because we belong to him. And he's not going to allow the enemy to have that glory for much longer. Because he's coming to take his kids back, because he loves us that much. And boy, I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that wrath, because he is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And all we got to do is receive him and receive his love and trust him. And
well, you said
him.
You said something. You
Go
said
ahead.
Something, sis, that really hit me. You know, all parents, when their kids go missing or their kids are out doing stuff they shouldn't do, all parents want is their kids to come home safe.
Yeah.
And that's all God wants for us. He wants us to come home. But he's not going to let us come home doing the things we're doing out in the streets. He wants us
no,
to come home and live
heaven.
By his, it's his house. He wants us to live by his rules. And you know what?
Yep.
It took me a long time to get to the point where I just had to get on my knees and say, Daddy, I just want to come home. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't do what you want me to do. I know your rules are your rules, and I should have respected you enough to abide by your rules. Daddy, I'm sorry. Just let me come home. Just let me come home. That's all he wants. And guys, if you're listening to my voice out there, ask him to let you come home. Just ask your dad to give you another chance that you can come home. Let me tell you why. Because Jesus, he paid that price for you to come home. He bought your ticket with his blood. He wants to take that from you. Let him have it. He gave his life for it. Let him have it. He's had enough faith in you to look down in history and say, I see them, Dad. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to die for them. I've got faith that they are going to do the right thing and choose me, and they're going to come home to you. That's what it's all about, guys. It's not about these people or it's going to always preach hellfire and damnation to you, which that's the big part of it. What you've got to realize is love God and turn to Jesus. And as soon as you turn to Jesus, he will turn to you. And you'll never be alone again. You'll never have to hurt again. You'll never have to hide again. You'll never be cold again. You'll never go hungry again. You'll never feel worthless again. You'll never be forbidden again. You'll always be forgiven. Thank God that Jesus does that for us. And I want to encourage you guys to jump on board and go home with me and Cheryl and Bonnie and Bams. We're going home. And there's room for you. God's got a place for you. Jump on. Jump on the soul train is what I call it. Get on the soul train. Let's go home.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So I'm through preaching for about the fourth time tonight on the third show. So go ahead, Bonnie, if you got something to say.
Well, the Lord's showing me, he's reminding me of something I saw a while back in the spirit. And I want you to just picture the Lord reaching down into a ditch. And there's a little lamb that's laying in the ditch, and the lamb has wallowed in the mud. And the lamb's been wallowing in that mud for a long, long time. And the wool is just caked with mud. And some of it's dried on. And you know how it would hurt if somebody come along and pulled that mud off. But what Jesus is doing, he takes those lambs, and it's us in our sins, and he gently takes his water, and he washes us a little bit at a time and gets a little bit of dirt off of us at a time. And as we allow the Word of God to come into us, that Word washes us cleaner and cleaner, and it reveals to us the things that we're doing that don't line up with him. So that when we do go to heaven, we'll be completely clean. Because if we get in heaven and we're still dirty, we're still polluted, it's like a tree that has a disease on it. And that tree, that one branch that's hooked to the tree that has the disease, that disease will spread. And eventually it will get to all the other branches. And so we need to be cleaned up before we get there, so that we don't pollute the others. And that's why it's so important for us to get into the Word and let that mud be washed off of us. Let that disease be cleansed from us. And it's a disease of sin. And that branch, you know, if we absolutely refuse and rebel against God over and over and over again, eventually he has to cut the branch off. Yeah. Before that disease gets into the rest of the tree, he cuts that branch off, and that branch has to be burned in the fire in order to kill the disease. It's just like a fruit tree. You know, if you see a branch and the leaves got spots on them and those leaves start withering, you know there's a disease. So you cut that branch off, and it's like amputating an arm that's got gangrene in it. You know, it would be like the same thing. In order to save the whole body, you've got to amputate that arm. It kills God to do that. He can't stand to do it. But in order to save the rest of the body, he has to. He don't have a choice. So if we don't accept him the way he wants us to accept him, eventually, in order to save the rest, he has to cut it off. And he has to burn that disease in the fire until there's nothing left of it. And that's what he'll do to us in order to protect his other children. He doesn't have a choice because he loves them too. He loves us, but he can't allow us into heaven polluted. Because if we're part of the body of Jesus Christ, he didn't have no sin. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We have to walk in the truth, all the truth, and then we'll be clean. And then he can come back for us and bring us home with him.
because the devil already polluted heaven once, and he can't allow it to stay, and that's why he gets cast out. Anything that tries to get in there that's going to have a disease on it, that's still going to have sin, he has to wash it first. And sometimes, you know, the more sin we have, it's like that caked-on sin, that caked-on mud on that wool. And we don't want to yell at these people. We want to gently wash them and love them as we wash them. He would take that lamb in his bosom, and he'd take a cloth, and he'd dunk it into the bucket of water. And he gently washed that lamb and washed a little bit more of that blood away at a time. But a lot of times what we want to do is grab a hold of the mud and pull it off of them all at once. That's like plucking up the tares before the time. We can't do that. We need to be gentle. We need to love them into the truth so that they can come into his arms and allow him to wash us clean with his word. And he will do that through his spirit. But we got to have the right word, guys. And we're supposed to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. God expects us to prove him, whether what we're believing is the truth or a lie. And the people in the garden, Adam and Eve, didn't do that. They just accepted. And that is how the enemy has gotten so many people, because he convinces you, you must believe what I say is true. That's not according to the word of God. God tells us to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. He wants us to prove him, people. If we just accept anything, it's our own souls that's going to perish for eternity. No matter what the devil tells us, we need to know the voice of God. And the only way we're going to know him is to have fellowship with him. You can't say you know somebody if you've never really met them, if you've never had fellowship with them, if you don't live with them, how can you really know them? But Jesus wants to come and live in our hearts and dwell within us. And he will talk to us in the night. When you're having dreams, he'll give you dreams of himself. He'll whisper in your ear. As he lives with you, he comes around about you just like a blanket. You know, on a cold night, you want to snuggle up. You put your knees to your chest, and you want to snuggle that blanket round about you to keep you warm. Well, Jesus wants to take us into his bosom and wrap his arms round about us and shelter us from all the things that could harm us. But it's up to us whether we'll get in there with him or not. His arms are open wide to everybody listening. And he welcomes you to him. And he will come in and he will gently wash you and reveal himself to you if only you trust in him. And he is worth trusting. He has more love than any parent could ever give their child. Because the love that a parent gives their child, the true love, when a parent really loves their child, that love came from God. He put that in their heart. And so for God himself to show us his love, it's beyond any love a mother or a dad could ever have. And you know, there's a lot of people that's probably listening to this that has never felt love from their mom or their dad. I was one of them. But you know what? There's another dad out there. There's another family out there. And that's the family of God, the people that have come together on this line today to fellowship with us. We are here. We have your back. And all you have to do is contact one of us, and we will be there to help nurture you into the truth, to help shield you from the things that the enemy wants to do against you. That's our job as an extension of the arm of God. He sent us here to help draw you in. All we are, we just have the light that he put in us. And so it's like a flashlight going out into the darkness. And we're trying to show you the things that you'll stumble on and cause you to fall. We just shine the light in front of you and say, look, there's a rock there you might fall in, or there's a pit that you might fall in. We don't want you to fall into that pit because it's going to hurt. We don't want you to spend eternity in the flames of hell because it's going to hurt. So we're trying to shine the light that God put in us to help draw you to Him. But His light is so much greater than the light that we have. He ultimately will lead you. Once you get a taste of Him, He'll just take over. And He'll lead you home. He'll take you by the hand, just like that little 3-year-old child walking down the path. He'll take you by His right hand. And He'll walk you all the way to the gates so that you can dwell with Him forever. He's so awesome. He has so much love, love that this world has never, ever been able to offer any of us. We think it does, but it don't. It can't even touch the love that He has for us. Loves us so much, like that blanket, that security blanket that a lot of us had when we were little babies. We'd drag around that blanket, and then when we'd be scared, we'd wrap that blanket round about us and we'd cover our heads. Well, that's what Jesus does. He covers us from the harm that the devil could put upon us. That's called His shield. And He shelters us in His wings of love. And He'll wrap Himself round about you just like that security blanket that we try to wrap around ourselves. He loves us more than any security blanket could ever. And He will cover us completely away from the sight of the enemy. And when all the things that are going to happen on the earth happen, we will know that we are safe in Him as long as we stay covered in Him and don't allow another one to try to cover us, or don't trust in our own righteousness, but trust in His alone. Anybody got anything to add?
There's not a whole lot you can add to that, sis. I mean, it's right on the money, and it has been. This whole message tonight is just so powerful. The anointing of the Lord. I'm always amazed when the anointing falls on someone when they're preaching God's word. And you preach tonight, sis. You've been preaching it just truth from the word of God, and praise God for that. I love that when the anointing falls on a brother or sister in the Lord. There's nothing more powerful when that happens. And you know what I'm talking about too. It's that feeling that you can do anything, that you are so,
yeah,
you are just so in awe, and you are just so full. You're just so full. You know, our spirits, you know, we eat, our physical bodies eat because we get hungry and we eat. But a lot of times our spirits starve because we don't feed them spiritual food. We've just got to make sure to feed them that spiritual food. Let me tell you what, sis, I'm full tonight. I got a full helping. I went back for seconds and got more. I don't think I could take dessert. It's so awesome in the Lord. And I've got to get off here. I got to take my dog out, or I'm gonna have a mess to clean up. And I love you so much, Cheryl. Praise God for you. Praise God.
Oh, I love you guys too. Let me tell you.
You are just so awesome in the Lord, and we are so blessed to know you. And I just praise God for what's happened on Blog Talk Radio, that people are coming together and we're making ties that bind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's those ties that bind in the Lord. And you know, I don't know where it's going to be, but God's revealed to me that He's going to bring us together, and we are going to meet. We are going to meet this side of heaven. We are going to meet this side of heaven. We are going to, I don't know where it's going to be, but it's going to be somewhere. I really like Nebraska, by the way, Cheryl. But God's going to make that happen. It's been revealed to me that God is going to bring a lot of His people together. And And we're going to get to fellowship together on this side of heaven. Then we're going to fellowship for eternity on that side of heaven. You know, we're going to be able to walk together and talk together and visit together and spend time together. And, you know, I'll tell you, just like I've always told everybody, I want to know if Adam and Eve have belly buttons. And that's what I'm going to ask my Lord. That's the question I have. That is the only philosophical question in my life. Because I know who Jesus is. Let me put it like this. I know whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm absolutely persuaded that Jesus is my Savior. There is no doubt whatsoever the power that Jesus has and what he can do with somebody like me. He took a nobody, a low life, and gave me a spirit of love and peace and a wonderful wife who is equally yoked in the spirit. I am the most blessed person that I know. I'm the most blessed person that I know. And I'm a lot like Peter. I'll jump up and lop that ear off before I think about it. But praise God that he's such a loving God, and Jesus is such a wonderful, wonderful master that he forgives me of that. He forgives me of it. So I don't want to encourage you guys, just like we always do. If you don't know Jesus, I'm talking to listeners. If you don't know who Jesus is, guys, we want you to know. Get in touch with any of us. My name is Rando. I'm on Spirit Fire Radio. If you want to get in contact with me, you can get me at rando6299@gmail.com. You want to talk to me about anything you want to. If you need a Bible, we'll send you one. If you need some fellowship, we'll do that with you. If you just need a word, we'll do that for you. If you just need somebody to listen and understand, we'll do that for you. But ultimately, you got to remember, we're going to try to lead you to the Lord. It's kind of like a rule. We have to do that. That's what we want to do. We want to share what we have with you. So we're going to do that. But believe me when I tell you this, if you get in touch with any of us, you're going to feel the love that we have for you, because we love you. We really, really do, because Jesus loves us. And if you don't know God, you don't know what love is, because God is love. And I want you to experience love, what true love is, and what true grace and mercy is. Please, guys, just try to look at it objectively, and try to forget about the fun that the world is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I've been involved in everything there is in the world. And I'm having the most fun that I've ever had in my life right now, fellowshipping with great men and women of the Lord and fellowshipping with my Father and seeing miracles happen. And Cheryl, just so you know, my word for you tonight is you are receiving healing. It's happening right now. Okay, sis, amen. I know that I've got an awesome God, and he answers prayers. And we fervently pray for you tonight. And God answers that prayer, and so be it. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, God, for answering our prayers. Now, I'm going to say
good. I have something for you, Randall, before you take off.
Okay.
The answer to your question about the belly button.
Uh-huh.
The Lord was just giving me a picture.
Okay.
I don't know about the physical belly buttons, but we definitely have spiritual ones.
I believe. I know I've got a spiritual umbilical cord. I've still got it connected.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was the baby in the womb with the umbilical cord, and we're connected to heaven. Yeah. Just like the lamps had the pipes that the oil was poured through that was a continuous feed to the oil lamps.
Yeah.
We have that continuous feed from the Lord of Glory. So we still have those umbilical cords hooked to him, and we don't want them ever severed.
I just want to know if they have real belly buttons. I want to know if they get real belly buttons, though.
No, they don't.
I
can only give you what I got.
Sorry, they don't. We have a word for the listeners, if it's okay.
Okay, I love you guys. I'm going to get off here.
All right, love you too.
God bless you. Have a great night. I'll talk to you tomorrow, guys.
All righty.
Love you. We got about 4 minutes before we're going to get cut off of here, so if anybody wants to say something, do it pretty quick.
And I do, Cheryl.
Cut us off. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks. When you spoke to the people who might not have ever known the love of a mother or father, it reminded me of a couple of years ago, God told me to stand up and take responsibility. So I want to do that here, too, for the listeners, regardless of their ages, that I am sorry for those of you who haven't known your mother's or your father's love. I stand as a representative of moms and dads, And I beg you, I cry out for forgiveness on their behalf, for us not taking our proper place and raising you up to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the lover of your